What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Cheeky Midweeky, where we are making strength and conditioning not boring anymore. And today we are joined by Joseph Padula. Joseph is the head strength and conditioning coach for the Oklahoma Sooners softball team. This softball team has won 4 national championships in a row. And in this conversation, I talk with Joe to figure out, what is it like training a team that has been that successful? How are you able to push? How are they still hungry after all that success? And what can us other strength and conditioning coaches learn from it? Because some of us, frankly, we haven't achieve that level of success. So by being able to find out what they have done in the weight room, you can steal these principles and utilize it with them team. You're going to love this episode. Talk to you on the other side.
Joe, so thank you for joining us. I'm really excited at doing this and talking with you, especially with the success that you have had with Oklahoma. And you've said it before in other shows, but obviously you're coming into a place that has a fantastic culture. What is it like coming to a place where there's been 4 national championships, 17 overall? Like, that's got to just be the most pressure cooker situation ever.
It's a lot of pressure. And, you know, I came into this job not really knowing what to expect. For those that don't know, this is my second year, and I'm sure I'll give more of a deeper introduction of myself soon, but, and my history, but, yeah, it's daunting. You know, I'm quite young. I'm only 25 years old, and this is my, this is my third full-time position. So I've moved around quite a bit, but you know, when you come into the college setting, I wasn't pro before this. So the dynamic is a lot different. The player personalities are a lot different. Obviously I moved from coaching men to women. And the standard is really something that I've never experienced at any other level. With this dynasty that I'm a part of, and I'm really blessed to be a part of it. But it's a thrill. It really is exciting, and it has moved me to be a better coach and a better man, and a better friend. So it really has helped me morph into the person that I want to be. And you know, when you live by such a high standard, it really pushes you to do things that, you know, you might have been uncomfortable with doing before. Or it's really motivated me to take a lot of steps also outside of the weight room, to be a better person and hold myself to that standard. But it's awesome. I mean, the people that I'm surrounded by are great people. They really care about me. I feel like they're very, very supportive of me. The players are very receptive and they want to be coached hard. So it's really a great environment to be in. And yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. So I'm really excited for this season. We got a lot of new faces. We graduated, I think, 10 seniors last year. Wow. So we brought in some, we had to reload a little bit. So it's been exciting this fall with a lot of new impressionable athletes that really want to get after it. So that makes, you know, your job as a strength coach really easy when you have those athletes that are so gung-ho on living to a certain standard and are very motivated and hungry and ambitious. So I'm having a great time.
On a much smaller scale, when I was at Towson, the volleyball team, so again, Towson volleyball versus Oklahoma softball, different spectrums, but there is a similarity because the girls at Towson, the volleyball team, had won 4 league championships in a row. And from talking with some of the girls, I was like, what is the level of pressure of you, of like not being the team, like the senior class that didn't win it? You know what I mean? And like, cause at some point, like, it's going to happen, but like, is this conversations that are being had or not at all? Or you're like, hey, I can't talk about it, but like, that's something that I'm interested in because like I said, Towson volleyball, I'm sure nobody knew about that. Everybody knows about the four-peat for y'all. So there's going to be coaches that are hearing this and they've kind of lived it at all. What is some advice that you'd give to them?
Yeah, I think, you know, every drought comes to an end eventually, and every winning streak is going to end eventually. And I think coaches across the world really kick themselves because they think that the performance of the team on the field, and, you know, I understand we're very focused on performance and wins and losses and things like that, but sometimes we have this smoke screen up, and if the team is a losing team, for example, we sometimes attribute that to our training in the weight room, and we feel responsible. And I would like people to know that it's not always an indicator that you're doing a bad job, nor is it always your responsibility if the team is winning. Okay. And I've said this before to many, many people. I said this in my the course that I released in the summertime. If I were not OU softball strength coach, I still think they would have won the national championship. And people laugh. You know, you give me the same reaction that a lot of people give me. Some people think I'm crazy for saying that, but you know, my programming has changed and evolved a lot over the years, and I think it has put my athletes in a better position to succeed. But I don't think that how much better of a position they're in is enough to, you know, sway the outcome of a season. There's obviously a lot more that goes into this besides strength, power, speed, and health. If anything, I would attribute my contribution to the team to player availability. I think that's the number one indicator of a successful strength coach is player availability. And after that comes the performance stuff. That doesn't mean that the performance stuff is an afterthought. You know, it's at the forefront of my decisions all the time. But it's those things are at the mercy of what's going to keep the athlete on the field and what they need to be ready on a daily basis. So I would tell coaches that are dealing with that, you know, you got to take things in stride. You have to know just how impactful your programming is and your decision making is. And a lot of people are making these massive leaps and bounds saying that, like, you know, the reason we use this training method is why we're a playoff team. Like, I just don't think that's like, there's so many factors that can't be, you know, quantitatively or even qualitatively determined that, you know, are going to make that thing purposeful or not, or impactful or not. So, you know, there's just so many things that we can't account for. And I factor that into my programming all the time and my decisions all the time. So
I heard you talk on another podcast about culture and trust. What does that mean to you? What does that look like? You know, coach athlete, coach, you know, being a part of a successful program.
Get CEUs faster, cheaper, and more convenient than ever before with Strength Coach Network. Hey, it's Justin here to tell you about how Strength Coach Network can now help you out with our premium membership and CEUs to the NSCA and CSCCA. Upon signing up for our premium membership, you will get 2.0 or 10 CEUs immediately. That is an entire year's worth of CEUs that you are able to access from the convenience of your office. No traveling for conferences, no waiting on flights, no eating out, no expensive hotels. Just the good stuff from great coaches. Now, if you need extra CEUs for past years during the reporting period, we can bundle Fundamentals 1 or 2, which also come with 2.0 or 10 CEUs, to your purchase. That way, you're able to take care of your CEUs for the best price, most convenient, and learn from some of the best coaches. If you want more help with this, email us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com or visit us at strengthcoachnetwork.com, and I would be delighted to help you out.
Yeah, I think culture to a lot of strength coaches means like energy in the weight room, buy-in, high intensity effort, things like that, being consistent, being constant. I think that I'm a coach who's very consistent. I'm the same guy for my athletes on a regular basis, and they know what they're going to expect. And I think that is really meaningful because it calls them to a certain standard. Of excellence and performance and discipline. As far as trust, you know, I think people like to establish trust early, and you really should be endeavoring to establish trust early, but it's going to take a very, very long time. I mean, when I interviewed for this job and, you know, my employers were inquiring about the kind of person that I was, I always mentioned the fact that I want to speak the same language as the coaching staff. So, you know, I know as strength coaches, we might think that certain things are more optimal than what's happening at practice, or, you know, we want to always change this for the better because we are a pretty new field and sport's been around much longer than high performance has. So like, it's tough to make an impact sometimes because we need to earn the trust of these people that have been doing it for a long time. I mean, my head coach has been doing this 6 years longer than I've been alive. So, like, it really is hard to, you know, get what you want all the time. So it's just small wins over time. But I've always believed in speaking the same language as the coaching staff. You know, if head coach or assistant coaches are telling them this, you better be telling them the same thing. And I'm not saying to be a pushover, you know, I want to make that very clear. You still got to find a way to authentically, you know, deliver that message and deliver that standard. And part of that too is, you know, you got to pick a job that's right for you too. It's not always, you know, satisfying the coaches and just taking the next step just because it's more money or whatever. And I know you talk about like pay progression, personal life. What's the fourth one?
Career progression.
Yeah.
Sense of greater purpose. Sorry.
Yeah. Purpose. So, you know, I chose OU. Big reason I chose OU is because I felt at home with the staff. I really felt like our values and morals and all that stuff were in line. And that's important too. So, you know, the other side of the fence is not, the grass isn't always greener, so to speak. So I heavily encourage coaches to consider that. Don't always just try to make someone else happy and satisfy them in your interview process and tell them what you want to hear. If it's for you, you're not going to have to sugarcoat it or save face. So I'm in a really, really fortunate position. I really do feel like I'm undeserving of this. You know, I really do. Like I'm blessed for the opportunity I have, the schedule I have. And that's a big thing is like, you got to make sure it works for you too. And then you're going to authentically take care of the culture and all that stuff. It's going to feel like it's natural for you. You're not going to have to go through these big, you know, leaps and bounds to make someone else happy.
Something I wrote here when you talked about you being consistent is how do you be consistent without being a robot and still being relatable? And that's something that I've tried to work with myself because yeah, you want to be consistent, but like, okay, if you had a really good day or your kids did something, like how do you be consistent without being a robot and still be relatable?
It's tough. It really is tough. I mean, I think I really try to take emotion out of a lot of it. I mean, like regardless of the day that I'm having, I am there for my athletes. Like if I have softball in the weight room for 1.5 to 2 hours a day, like let's say we have two groups, if I can't be, you know, high energy, and I'm not talking like yelling and making unnecessary noise, but I'm saying like coaching hard, coaching technique well, coaching effort well. If I can't do that for 2 hours, like that's a problem. I mean, like we're not on the floor for that long. A lot of our time is spent at practice, at games, on the road, you know, in our offices, maybe programming or you know, continuing education. Not all of my time is spent in the weight room. So I really just like double down on that time. Like, hey, this is the hour that I'm going to give them. I can put how I feel to the side and just and be there for these guys right now, these women. I don't know. It's a very, very loaded question. I think a lot of it too is taking care of myself outside of the job. I really have gotten better at focusing on leaving work at work. Sometimes that's not possible. But I think I've organized my schedule and like optimized my life outside of here to a point where if I need to bring work home, I can comfortably. But I've really gotten better at like forgetting about work, not entirely, but like just leaving it here. Being proactive, taking care of things ahead of time, not leaving things for last minute, just to open up my schedule more. The more I've taken care of myself outside of the job, the better coach I've been. And I can't say the same thing as for like when I was in pro ball with the Royals, because that is an all day, every day thing. And it wore on me. It's for some people, but it's not for me. I learned that pretty fast. I did 2 years and don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it, loved it, learned a lot. Really liked the guys that I was around, but it was a lot harder to, you know, take care of my faith, take care of my health, take care of my own exercise, take care of my social life, call family members. Like that stuff is just really important to me. So I found an opportunity that allows me to prioritize those things better. And that speaks to your personal life there. So.
What's up, everybody? Taking a quick break from the show to talk about one of our sponsors, Team Builder. I've been using Team Builder since 2019 when I was at Towson. I still use it with my remote athletes. I also use it at Goldfinch, which is the private sector gym I train at. And we use it at Centennial, which is the high school that I'm working at. Now, if you're printing on lift cards because you say, oh, I can't afford Team Builder, guess what? Team Builder has a pre-written grant that you can locate on their website. You simply change the name of you, your organization, and the areas that they highlighted, and they can help you get Team Builder at your facility, your university, whatever it is, so that way you can optimize how you train your athletes with this software. Now, Team Builder is also a part owner in the Plyomat. The Plyomat is something that I utilize at Goldfinch, and it helps you be able to see how high somebody jumped, the ground contact time, and RSI. You can get all that conveniently right there. You can reach out to your rep from Team Builder to be able to get more information on the Plyomat. It's fast, it's reliable, it's convenient, and it's trusted by coaches worldwide. Check them out as well as Team Builder in the link down below.
Amen, brother. I just got goosebumps. God is good with that. Good for you. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. You talk about the area that I'm going to go now with it is NIL, because I've talked with Cody Hughes. His episode came out today, and we talked about how NIL has kind of affected football. I don't know. And in this show, I love to learn from our guests, and I think I have the best job because I get to learn from so many people. Is NIL affecting softball at your level because you are at the top of the top? Is there still a development model? And I say this to A, learn from you, but B, also try to help educate coaches that are in this world. And then C, maybe there are some strength coaches that are like, I want to get back to the developmental model where I get somebody that comes in as a freshman and I see what they progress to as a senior. And if that is happening, we could start to see an influx of coaches heading into softball, because it's a darn cool sport to work with and play and see, because I got to work with the softball team at Towson.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, NIL is affecting the game now. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to speak on what our players make. I mean, I don't really know.
Sorry. I'm not asking you like what the players make. Like, I guess what I meant to say is, do you have like people coming in, people leaving,
People have left. I mean, we have visits all the time. I take them through our facilities and talk to them about what we can do for them from a developmental standpoint. I think the most important thing is, you know, you really don't know how long an athlete's going to be with you. So this just goes back to keeping the athlete on the field. You want to maximize their time when they're with you. So what does that look like for me? You know, you got to be really cautious about delivering too much stimulus, or, you really have to be at the mercy of the sport and the schedule, because it's a hectic game. You play a lot of games on the weekends in the early season. So you really have to kind of restrain yourself and hold yourself back to not cause an overuse injury or overwork the athletes or overreach them, you know, at parts of the year you shouldn't be doing that stuff. But yeah, people are leaving, people are coming in, and, you know, with the people that transfer in that are maybe sophomores or juniors, I really try to ascertain from their previous strength coaches what their model was like. I do a lot of work to know where they're coming from, and I also do a lot of work with our freshmen to know what they've done before they get here. You know, I had contacts with all their strength coaches to know what their process was, what their frequency in the gym was like during the summer season. I don't know if you know, summer softball is ridiculous. I mean, they're playing like 8 to 10 games a week.
Really?
Sometimes even more. I mean, it is out of control. So like with the freshmen, I kind of just bring them in and assume that they're going to be there for a long time. You know, I just approach it. I'm always going to program for where they're at right now. Yeah. Now, how I diagnose those things is going to, maybe we'll get to that eventually, but I do, when I get a freshman, think long-term. And, you know, I don't want to give them something that, you know, I would like to reserve for them for maybe their junior or senior year when they're more prepared and they need a more significant, profound stimulus or training effect. So I do kind of slow cook, so to speak. You know, we had some returners this year, but we all obviously lost a lot. The returners are naturally progressing. They're doing more intense things. So like as far as like a LTAD program, I'm trying to live by that as best I can, but I'm not going to, you know, if I get a junior to come in, some people just automatically put them in a foundation program. I don't want to underdose them either. That's why I have those conversations with their previous coaches. And that's been pretty beneficial for me to know where they're coming from. And it also is good for the athlete because they know that I care about them and I want them to get the most out of it. They see that effort coming to fruition and manifesting itself on a daily basis. And they appreciate that because they, you know, they don't want to be undertrained. You know, I put a girl on something and they're like, well, I've been doing this for years and years. You know, let's do something else. Like, I'm down for that. So I'm just trying to give them things they haven't experienced before, but also just follow a natural progression the best I can. and it's tough sometimes, but
good for you on that. And you know, right now y'all are in fall ball, just won a big game 15-0. Like, how do you go about navigating that from, you know, you're in the off season, but now you're in the competitive, the non-competitive in season. Are you training in multiple groups, or is it like, how do you handle that? Because when I work with softball, that coach wanted us to train in multiple groups, but then also not, because trying to build chemistry and teamwork, because that is very important in the sport of softball too.
Yeah. You just mentioned a very important point, and that's the chemistry part. For the first couple of weeks, I did like an install block. You know, it was like a GPP type block, but I had a foundation and then another group that was returners and transfers who were more developed. And I had several programs running at once in those two groups. There gets to a point though, where the seniors want to lift those freshmen up, mm-hmm. and they want to be with them in the weight room. So once I felt comfortable with where the freshmen were at, with their technical competencies, with how they understood how the program flowed, then I merged everybody and it was easier to coach. But early on, it would have been an absolute disaster. Like, we probably wouldn't have gotten through half the program. And the session moves a lot faster when you've got less bodies in there too.
Yep.
So now I'm doing full groups, but early on I was trying to break them up as best I could. As for our schedule, do you want me to get into that with the games we're playing right now?
Yeah, like just how you navigated, because we have listeners that are working in softball and they're like, man, we've got these doubleheaders Saturday and then a Sunday. Like, how can, again, respecting, you know, who you are and where you're at, like just, you know, 10,000 foot view, big picture things, not giving away any of your secret sauce, but just how you go about looking at it big picture wise.
What's up, everybody? Taking a quick break from the show to talk about one of our sponsors, Hawken Dynamic. I've been using Hawken Dynamics ever since I was at Towson. Still utilize it today when I'm at the private sector at Goldfinch. Even brought the plates from Goldfinch over to Centennial to do some force play testing with the football team there. We've done force play testing with other high school athletes. It is something that you need to get. If you want more help with it about how to practically use it and you want to reach out to us, feel free to reach out to us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com. Not only do I utilize it with lower body assessments, I use it with upper body assessments, plyo pushups, prone Y assessments. You can also utilize it for what I call an upper body isometric mid thigh pull, where essentially you're doing a push-up at the strongest range and you're pushing into an immovable force, so a barbell, same way you do an isometric mid thigh pull. Like I said, been using them for years, valid, reliable. The customer service is fantastic. Go check out Hawken Dynamic in the link down below and you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big high-low model guy. I do try to sync that up with the practice intensity. I know when our high days are and when our low days are. Usually our low days kind of, encapsulate the game day. So like if the game day is Wednesday, for example, like maybe Thursday is lighter, you know, obviously we share a weight room with football. So sometimes the facilities don't allow us to do the planning that I'd like to implement. For instance, on Monday, they have the weight room in the morning and then classes start and I've got a problem because I can't lift our girls on Mondays. So we do acceleration first day of the week. Tuesday, I like to lift them, and then Wednesday's a game day. And you might say, well, you know, you're lifting game day minus one. And I'm like, yeah, I know I'm kind of breaking a rule, but it's what I have to do. Yep. And that also boils down to how I've evolved too, is I used to be like an optimizer and now I'm a good enough guy. Like perfect everything. You got to follow all the rules to a T, and now I'm just, well, this is good enough. Yeah, they might be a little fatigued, but also like, can I control the other variables? That's not going to carry too much fatigue into that game. So I think our volume on game day minus one is probably 75% of what it is on our other lifts. So I think that helps. Just minimize the volume a little bit. And then Thursday, low day after the game, we'll do like upper body work. And then Friday, that last day of the week, is another high day. So that's how I organize in the fall. And you got to remember too, it's still a developmental period. Like some coaches will say, some sport coaches will knock you for like the players looking a little like slow or fatigued, but like, can you educate your staff on the fact that you are still trying to build and that you don't need to be in prime condition right now? that's hard to do sometimes. You know, I've had conversations like that once in a while, but, you know, they kind of, I haven't had one like that in a while, but, it is something I'm concerned about because you want them to practice well too. Like, yep. You know, you want them to acquire skill and build, you know, chemistry and technical competency and tactical awareness too in the game. So if you just depreciate them in the morning and just crush them, they're not going to have much of that reserve there in the afternoon. So just understanding that first and foremost. And then in season, it gets a little tougher because Monday is our designated off day. So if I want to lift twice a week, I got to go Tuesday, Thursday. But we play Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So Thursday, again, it has to be a lighter day. It's got to be less volume. You know, I've used tools like overcoming isometrics, plyos, sprints, medicine ball ballistics. You know, we'll do dynamic effort lifting, not too much straining, you know, like staying above maybe like 0.7, 0.8 meters per second on the tendo or whatever kind of accelerometer you want to use. So in season, I really have like a designated strength force day and then a dynamic,
mm-hmm.
You know, speed type day. And that's pretty much all I get. Just because there's a lot of time restrictions in the in-season period, and I'm sure you understand CARA hours and all that stuff. So I got to be careful with that. And then the way I get my speed work done is usually before practice, like embedded in the warm up. I think that's the best way to get speed work done during these frequent these seasons and sports where you're playing frequently. I don't really do a designated speed day unless I'm in the fall or winter season. It's not possible given the schedule. So,
dude, anybody listening to that here, like rewind 5 minutes and hear what he just said, because he's got his principles first. You have to understand your program is based on the constraints of your facility. And then it's based on the athletes that you have. Like that is a principles based program. And I just want to speak life into like, that's awesome to hear.
The other part of it too, with the principles is what you are doing now and how you're managing fatigue, like let's say today, is relative to what you've done. And people forget this and they're like, well, you know, I get questions on Instagram. Like I'll post, like ask me a question and someone says like, how much volume or intensity should you take off for a deload? And the answer is always, what have you already done with them and what are they already adapted to? You adjust based off that. So my freedom with decision-making in the in-season period is predicated on how hard we've pushed in the fall and what they've acclimated to in the fall and winter and off-season. Because then you adjust off that. There's no like set in stone volume or intensity parameter for a deload. I guess you can make an argument like, yeah, for a deload, you don't want to do hypertrophy clusters and or do like, you know, 90% 1RM singles.
We deloaded from 100. We're doing 90%.
Yeah, yeah. Like I understand that, obviously. Okay. But like, I think the viewers should also understand like how much volume, how much intensity is going to be dictated based off what's happened beforehand. So.
And that's, again, the principle based, and it does all depend because you talked about it before where you had your freshmen by themselves, the returners had more, you knew what they did. They had a better foundation. They didn't need that GPP reacclimation block as long as these brand new athletes.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
What's up, y'all? Taking a quick break from the show to talk to you about another one of our sponsors, Vitruve. I've been utilizing Vitruve for a while now, and I absolutely love the convenience of this app. The encoder is at a price that you cannot beat compared to the competitors. Also, I don't personally like the camera apps. I've known that they continue to break down, and I really enjoy having this encoder attached directly to the bar. Vitruve does that. Not only does it do that, but it'll show me velocity loss during the set, shows me average velocity, all of it right within the app. Not only that, for the app on the individual athlete, there's a Vitruve Teams app where now as the coach, I can see all the results from my athletes. I can API that into my team builder. And now everything that I'm trying to do, get better competition, better intent in the weight room, I am able to do with Vitruve. If you want more information about them, click the link down below, or you can ask us questions directly at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com, and we would love to answer those questions for you.
Next question I have for you is about not the specific data that you use. I'm here to ask that, but data and tech, especially with softball and baseball, because I feel like with it at practice, they probably have more use and see tech more with speed, pitch, exit velocity. Have you seen that athletes are kind of sick of technology when they come into the weight room, or has it just become part of their life? And how do you navigate through that?
Well, I try to embed the testing the best I can into the training. So they sometimes just think they're training, you know? I think that's the best way to do it. I don't really like testing battery days because then they kind of feel like they're a guinea pig and like they're not really getting work done. So I really try to embed it the best I can. But I also make a competition out of it. Like today we did force plate jumps and I had the whole team go to the plates at once and just like scream and bark at each other. And like, it's a lot more fun for them when they're doing that. When we're doing speed work, I'm testing every single rep. So they just accept it as normal now. So I think just the frequency of the exposure to the testing actually makes it more normal. With the velocity cameras too, you know, we've got the Elite Form velocity camera. I'm always using that to coach more effort, more intent, more drive into the bar. So, you know, I don't think that the athletes are sick of the technology if they see how it's being applied to the program. So, I use the force plates a lot to bucket the athletes, and I'll explain to them sometimes, like, what I'm seeing, and I'll show them the curves and explain, like, hey, you know, I've seen, like, your eccentric strength is really low, or like your, this is what your curve looks like this is why you're doing this particular exercise. Like, some athletes will say like, oh, so-and-so's doing that. Why am I not doing that? And then when you give them an explanation, like for some, maybe it still doesn't matter. Like they're still going to be frustrated because they want to do the cool thing. Yeah. But some athletes will care once you, and like actually understand once you share that knowledge. But no, I don't think they're sick of it. I think they see how it's being applied. But I think like sometimes if you just run test after test after test and nothing's changing or they're on the same program as everybody else, then they're going to start asking questions and being skeptical. So I really make an effort to make use out of the information. A lot of coaches will collect information just to say they're collecting it and they're not really applying it. And I think in those situations, it gets hard for them to really win the athlete over because like these athletes aren't dumb. Like they know what's going on. So they can look around the weight room and tell like my program's no different than everybody else, even though like I'm a unique individual and I'm not some like crazy individualized programming guy. Like there's only so much I could do and there's only so much individualization that I could do to where I feel like, you know, am I just wasting time and making things more complicated? Like I don't need to individualize like, you know, contralateral single arm row, like while everybody else is doing board rows, you know what I mean? Or like dumbbell rows or pull-ups. Like I don't get that crazy with it. My individualizations are more like the plyos, jumping, the main lift you're doing, the mobility you're doing during your rest period. That's kind of my individualization, and also sometimes the intensities of the lifts and the volumes. So like that's where my bread and butter is. And I think athletes see the differences in their programs. I mean, I think I have like 8 different programs running across 21 athletes right now, and they're not that different. But they do recognize that. And I think they understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Some athletes will just randomly ask me like, hey, what are you collecting? Like, I had an athlete yesterday ask me that. And I just showed her on the computer on the big screen in the weight room. And she was like, oh, like that makes sense. Like, is that why you're telling me to do this or XYZ? And I'm like, yeah, like, and that's why I'm also coaching you. Your RSI is really down. That's why I'm coaching you to be more springy or elastic or try to like, I'm giving you cues, like attack the ground, like things like that. Cause I'm trying to lift qualities like breaking RFD or average relative breaking force. Like that's why you're doing loaded depth drops, or that's why you're doing loaded snap downs, or, you know, things like that. So it gets them to understand the purpose of the exercise better.
Anybody listening to you talk for the last 30 minutes is like, all right, this dude's 25 years old. Like it's very mature, principle based, sound program. Like,
thanks.
Talk about your path. And like you said, who you are, what got you into this? Because again, to think that you're only 25, that's wild.
Shoot. This might be the longest answer that I give you here because my path is pretty unique. Not in the sense that I'm like a washed up athlete gone coach. I did come into college. You know, I was a low D3, like pretty low bottom of the barrel program baseball player. And I was an infielder when I went to college. Had I discovered pitching a little earlier, I probably would have gone somewhere else because I really developed fast. And that's how I fell in love with strength and conditioning. But we never had a strength coach. After my sophomore year, we only had one coach. I never had a pitching coach after my sophomore year. In the fall of 2017 was my freshman year at Gordon College. That's a school in Wenham, Massachusetts. We had two guys that had gone down in the bullpen. One guy was ineligible academically. The other one had labrum surgery. So they were like, look, Joe, you're competing for shortstop and third base behind two senior captains. Let's see if you can pitch. So like, all right, like I've pitched before, but I've never like developed. I was throwing like puss balls, dude, like 78 miles an hour. And by my junior year, I was throwing 90-91. And by my senior year, I hit a 93-7 and I sat like 92-93 all year long. My freshman year, I was rookie of the year of my conference. I had the second best batting average allowed in America across all three divisions, Division One, Two included. Two-time first team player. So like I developed myself in the weight room, speed, power, strength, like all the things, mobility. I even used like the driveline balls. I taught myself how to use weighted balls. I never had an injury. The other crazy thing, in December of 17, I was also diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Oh.
So I had gained about 30 pounds from my diagnosis to when the season came, because when you're in a hyperglycemic state, your body dumps ketones out of your fat cells. So I was like the leanest I've ever been. And I thought it was because of my training, but I was just an idiot. And I wasn't weighing myself. And I was like dismissing like symptoms of type 1 diabetes that I thought were just like, no, I'm healthy. Like, I don't have this.
Taking a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Powerlift. I used Powerlift when I was at Harvard, Maryland, and the University of Iowa. I was also part of the staff that had the new weight room at the University of Iowa, the 32-rack beautiful facility. I was a part of that. I also have Powerlift's equipment nowadays. Powerlift Strong, made here in the great state of Iowa, in the great country of the United States. They're able to work with you on any customizations that you need, logos, height, whatever it is, the limitations that you have. Their equipment is strong. The people there, they're very good people. Check them out in the link down below. And if you have any questions on how to work with them, reach out to us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com, and we would be delighted to help.
And I was like 151 in the hospital, and by the season, I was 180. And I was throwing probably like 86, 87. And I had a good year that year. It was crazy. But I pretty much like taught myself nutrition, blood sugar management. I never had like a coach with this stuff. So long story short, after that, I was on a physical therapy path. In 2019, I did a physical therapy internship. I was an aide at a facility in my hometown in New Jersey. And I just hated it. I thought it was the most cookie cutter thing ever. I thought that people just weren't getting better. Like, okay, you guys are just billing these people because you want their money. It's like, you're not actually trying to get them out of here. And the other thing I saw was like, these people are just going to prepare the same exact way every time if they don't make a change with their preparation outside of here. And they're just going to end up right back at square one. Like, the amount of people we discharged and they just came back like a month later. It's like, it shouldn't be like this.
Mm-hmm.
It just shouldn't be like that. Nope. So I didn't really like it. It wasn't my thing. I felt like every single injury was treated with the same protocol, and my like creative, you know, hyper sporadic brain just does not like that. Like I really am a thinker, and I'm constantly changing things, not because I'm just like some chameleon, but like, I want to just see, is this better? Is this more efficacious, if that's the word? So I got rid of that. Fast forward to COVID year. We're in Florida for our first week of baseball. We called it our spring training, and we get sent home early. I'm like, damn, I need to find an opportunity to like continue like developing myself professionally. Thank God for Zach Dakin and Coach Todd Alford, who was my head coach at the time, because they met each other at Pitchapalooza in Tennessee the year before. my head coach had roomed with Zach, and he called Zach and he was like, hey, I got this kid, ambitious kid. Like, you'll love him. I need you to interview this guy for a summer internship. I was one of two interns in the summer because people were falling out because of COVID. I didn't know if the internship was going to happen. So it's like May 30th and this internship starts on June 1st. I'm like, Zach, are we a go? Like, I got to get in the car. Like, I got to drive down there. He goes, yeah, we're a go. I drove to Fort Worth, Texas in 24 hours, straight through, moved in, and I started working the next day. And that was the greatest decision I ever made in my life because formed a great relationship with Zach. He really motivated me in ways I didn't think were possible, like really pushed me to evolve and learn. And then I did an internship in my hometown, a place called NJ Fast, which is a private facility. They hired me full time. I signed my contract before my senior spring. So I came back and started working full time once I graduated. Took my CSCS while I was a student in February and passed it. So I got certified the week I got my degree. I sent it in and they certified me because you need your degree. I tell this funny story. My first week at NJ Fast full time, the guy that was above me quit. So I was running that place on my own, marketing, cleaning, programming, facility upkeep, like managing clients. Like, I was doing a lot of hours and it was my first job. I had no one above me. I was like, screw it. Like, I'm just going to train these kids. So I had kids between the age of like 8 and 21. I had a lot of like summertime college athletes. Like, I remember I had a big like college basketball women's group. I had a baseball group. I did a lot of group training at that job. And then it got to a point in October, I saw all the baseball jobs opening up for Major League Baseball. Yeah, I'm seeing Royals, Orioles, Red Sox, Athletics. Like, I applied to 14 different teams. The White Sox were one of them. And I got interviews with all of them. And the Royals were the first team that said, you know, we're going to offer you a spot, but you're too inexperienced. You know, we're going to give you a part-time position. No benefits. Oof. Type 1 diabetic, you need benefits.
Yeah.
And I took the job regardless. I was like, screw it. I'm getting in. I don't care what I have to do to make this work. I'll drive Uber. I don't care. So I took the job. 3 weeks in, they called me into the office. And I thought I was like on the hot seat for something. I thought I was in trouble. And they said, Joe, honestly, in 2.5 weeks, like, you made a good impression. We're going to give you the full-time role in Columbia, South Carolina. Dude. So I was like, hell yeah. So right there, I earned the affiliate position at our low A affiliate in South Carolina. Got benefits, and I got a big raise right there. I did a year there. And then after that year, I got promoted to high A. And then when I was in high A, I remember I was in Beloit, Wisconsin on a road trip, and I was actually loading the bus to bring the players to the gym at the stadium. Zach calls me and goes, hey, are you trying to get out of pro ball? And I said, not actively, but what do you got? And he said, OU softball is looking for a strength coach. And I said, softball, I'm not really a softball guy. I didn't know anything about the program, like nothing. I didn't know who Coach Gasso was. I didn't know anything. All I knew was that I had family down here, which was another big pull for me. So I interviewed that next day on the phone, and I was on campus with an offer on Monday, that next Monday. It was the fastest hiring process I'd ever seen. And it was pretty intimidating because of how fast it was and how young I was at the time. I was like, you know, I said to Tim, my director, I was like, Tim, this is moving fast. Like, I don't know if this is, I got to think on this. He was like, this is just how it is, man. And he's right. Like, you know, these jobs fill fast. So, yeah, the rest is history. I put in my 2 weeks after that. I left with about a week and a half left to go the regular season. And I got here for the first day of school. I drove down from Iowa because I was in Quad Cities, Iowa, for the minor league season. I drove down to Oklahoma on Saturday, moved in Sunday, started work Monday. And that whole week, I remember, I think I stayed up till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning every day getting programs ready because I didn't have anything ready for the new schedule, the new situation, the different demographic of athletes. Like, I was overthinking everything because I wanted to get off to such a good start. And, you know, come to find out after several months in this job, like, it's a lot more simple than it needs to be, or than you probably think it needs to be. So that it was a whirlwind. I've moved around a lot. I'm really hope I can stay here for a good amount of time and, you know, start a family here eventually. So
I hope so too.
Sorry to cut you off. In the mix of all that, I opened my LLC in 2022. During the off season of 22. So I registered my LLC, Padula Performance. I trained kids in the off season out of my old high school baseball coach's club facility. He was like, "Hey, you want to train athletes? You can make your own membership plan. You know, you could charge kids whatever you want. We'll take 40%. It was a great situation. So I made some good money on the side doing that in the off season, just doing like 3 to 4 hours of work a day, just running four groups in the afternoon after they got out of school. And then that was pretty much it. And now I've moved, because I can't coach high school kids anymore because of the college rules. Yeah. Now I just release programs, and I have my course now. And I also do consulting all the time. So that's pretty much what my business is just coach education and like my training team program for the most part.
How about the nutrition aspect? Because I'm sure people are going to be interested in that, considering, you know, how dialed in you have to be with the nutrition for your own self.
I haven't gotten into the nutrition realm as far as sales and things like that and making that a service. And I need to be honest. And I say that people ask me, like, would you ever work in football, or like, would you ever work in this sport? And my answer is no, because I'm not comfortable with my competency level there to be able to coach someone else. Like, I could probably coach football, like strength and conditioning, but I know that there are things that should be considered, like time motion demands, energy system demands, like scheduling and things like that in sports like football or other sports that you got to consider when you write a program that I don't know enough about yet. And I feel the same way about nutrition. I know what works for me, but what works for me is not going to work for someone else all the time. So maybe it's something I explore down the line, but right now I don't feel qualified to offer that. That's just me being self-aware, I feel like, in what I'm able to deliver at a high level. Like, I'm okay putting out a program that maybe isn't as great as a program I want to release 3 years from now. I'm okay with that because I know it's still a damn good program. But for nutrition, I don't feel the same confidence. So I'm just staying away from that for now.
Makes sense. Do you have any athletes that like come and ask you advice then, or you're able to just refer out to the nutritionists that y'all have?
I typically refer to them. I mean, like simple questions like, "Hey, should I take creatine monohydrate?" I'm like, "Yeah, probably. It's pretty safe." Stuff like that. You know, I'll make general recommendations like that. But I try to stay out of that stuff, especially with females. You know, I like, man to female talking about food and like diet and body image and body composition is not really my forte. And it's not something I don't want to step on someone's toes, and put myself in a situation where like, "Hey, you're unqualified and you're delivering advice that is not really your job," or other things where, you know, "Hey, this person now has an eating problem because of something." Like, I just don't want to be involved in anything like that. And that happens when people make comments that they shouldn't make. And I haven't made comments like that, and I'm trying not to. You never know what's going to rub someone the wrong way. And you don't really completely know these athletes all the time. So, you know, maybe I'm walking on eggshells a little bit, but I just don't feel like it's my area.
No, that's fair. And you're respecting, like, everybody listen to what he's saying. It's about the principle. Like, you're respecting what your domain is. Sure, you can give some very general high level answer, just like, "Yeah, you know, eat your fruits and vegetables, you know, to support those other people." But that's a good way of continuing to respect the expertise of the other people and still support that person.
Yeah. I mean, the other departments aren't telling them how to squat.
Correct.
So I just, you know, I live by the same kind of code. You know, I'll collaborate with people when my advice is asked for or when my opinion is asked for. Outside of that, I really just try to do my job at a high level and let the rest play out.
What's been the coolest part about seeing softball and the sport of softball grow?
Get CEUs faster, cheaper, and more convenient than ever before with Strength Coach Network. Hey, it's Justin, here to tell you about how Strength Coach Network can now help you out with our premium membership and CEUs to the NSCA and CSCCA. Upon signing up for our premium membership, you will get 2.0 or 10 CEUs immediately. That is an entire year's worth of CEUs that you are able to access from the convenient of your office. No traveling for conferences, no waiting on flights, no eating out, no expensive hotels. Just the good stuff from great coaches. Now, if you need extra CEUs for past years during the reporting period, we can bundle Fundamentals 1 or 2, which also come with 2.0 or 10 CEUs, to your purchase. That way, you're able to take care of your CEUs for the best price, most convenient, and learn from some of the best coaches. If you want more help with this, email us at service@strengthcoachnetwork or visit us at strengthcoachnetwork.com, and I would be delighted to help you out.
The influence that our program has on everybody else is tremendous. You know, a lot of our athletes are very high energy. They're very present on the field. They play with passion. They play with this spark and fire, and it's motivating and inspiring. Like, they've attracted like what seems like a brand new fan base to the game. Mm-hmm. It's really surging fast. I mean, I think I would just say that, like, the people that have been a part of this program are really responsible. I feel like even before me, you know, I don't give myself any credit for this, but like people who have built this program are the reason why this has happened. Like, I think OU softball is and has been the example for what softball is going to look like in the future. I mean, I don't know if you've seen our new facility, Loves Field. It's like a $48 million stadium that got built last year. I mean, it is a mecca, and it's probably the most beautiful female, like women's sports facility in the country. One of it has to be. So just seeing that, like, you know, money's being invested into it, time and efforts being invested into it by fans and donors. It's just, it's on a higher level now that people just didn't think it would get to, and people just care more about it. I mean, they see the resources going into it. They see how much people care about it. The school pride, the pride of the fans, and like other schools are really trying to catch up now, and other programs are really trying to meet us where we're at. So it's making other schools better too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how are we going to compete with OU, or how are we going to compete with a school like Texas? Like, these sports now are getting more funding. It's a great thing. I mean, it really is. So
I love that, because I have always aspired, or I've always had the mindset of like, man, I just respect winning, because I think winning is harder to then produce more winning rather than losing, because it's just so hard. I have so much respect for the football programs when the Patriots were winning, or when Bama was winning in college football, or when the Yankees were the Yankees. Like, it's just so awesome to see and learn and study from those programs. So like, that's super cool to hear about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty incredible. I know LSU has a beautiful facility too. We're going to travel to the SEC this year, and the first year in the SEC, I mean, we're going to see some nice spots. I think we go to LSU this year. I might be wrong, but, it's clear, like, the fan base is growing pretty fast. And I really do think that the athletes that really graduated last year, our senior class, is largely responsible for that following.
I remember saw a picture where it was like, oh, people say no one cares about softball, and they showed like the packed stadiums, and it's like, no, yeah, clearly people do.
People care. Yeah. People care. I mean, the World Series was electric, dude. Electric. A packed every single night, loud, loud stadium. Obviously loaded with OU fans.
But it probably looked like it was both, with Florida State being the same colors.
It was sick. I mean, it was sick. Like, I've watched like the College World Series men's baseball on TV, and I'm like, yo, this looks awesome. But the College World Series for women, I mean, it's no less amazing. I mean, it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's a fast-paced game. It's a high-energy game. Like, it really is fun. Like, I know there's a lot of people out there, like baseball, the guys who want to stay in baseball. I'm telling you, like, I was skeptical too at first, but give it a shot. Like, you really might like it, and it's fun. So I, you know, I really enjoyed, I like seeing the, like the character and the personality of a lot of these athletes. It's really, engaging and fun to coach. So it's, I mean, it really is a blast. I love it.
Please do me this favor to any of our male strength and conditioning coaches that are listening here. Like, oh, I could hit off of these pitchers. Please talk to them about how they couldn't.
Well, if you guys saw the clip of Pat McAfee hitting at our stadium, when game day came to Norman for the Tennessee game.
Oh, okay.
And Pat McAfee came to, and Nick Saban came, and they were hitting on our field.
Oh, really?
And yeah, our pitchers were blowing it by.
Really?
Pat McAfee. It's
because it's Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee's old.
Yeah. Well, but there is.
That's awesome.
It is very difficult. I mean, I think
yes.
You know, you all you need to do is stand in and like, or just watch from behind the screen to see what these balls are doing. Like, it looks a lot easier than it really is.
Yeah, it's coming in like a seed. You ain't hitting that.
I mean, no, like, shot. You look at the scoreboard and say, oh, it's 65, 68 miles an hour, but like, it's also being released from 40 feet away.
Yeah, it's coming in close, everybody. Yeah, that's why if you watch a softball game, they do the equation of what it would be as a major league baseball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's just as fast, if not faster.
Given the
distance disparity.
The number that keeps coming into my head is like 97 or 98 of like most pitches. It's like, you ain't hitting that, bro. Yeah,
and at the same time, like they're throwing, it's rising.
Or it's a rising pitch. Yeah.
It's like they call it a drop, but it's like a splitter in baseball. It just like falls off the table, but it's like a fastball type speed.
Mm-hmm.
They throw curves. They throw changeups. I mean, there are athletes I've seen that have like a 68 mile an hour fastball, but then their changeups like 47, 46.
Yeah.
Like that's really hard to time. I mean, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of gamesmanship in softball, keeping people off balance, and there's a lot of small ball. It's just a fun. It really is exciting to watch.
It is. It's exciting to be a part of. I want to respect your time and considering the fact that you have practice later today. Thank you for coming on and sharing with us and allowing our listeners to learn from you. Yeah, best luck the rest of the year. And like I said, I've been a fan of successful teams, and OU softball has been one of them.
I appreciate that. Should I give my contact info?
Oh, for sure. Give whatever you want to give.
Yeah. My Instagram is probably the best way to reach me. It's Pedulla Performance. That's P-E-D-U-L-L-A Performance. You could email me at joe.pedulla@pedullaperformance.com. And I'll be happy to talk to you. If I really try to get on the phone with anybody who wants to talk. So, I'll find the time for you and answer your questions if you'd like. And especially if you're a softball strength coach, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with softball coaches across the country in the last year and a half. So please, you know, blow my phone up. I'd love to talk shop. So
sounds good, brother. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Justin. Thank you.